Hello, everyone.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Andre.
Hello, morning.
Hi, Tina.
How's it going?
All right, how are you?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's just us so far, so we'll give everybody a few minutes to join. Morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I actually had a question. What am I supposed to do when I complete my user stories? Where does it go?
They go on. They go on our Jira board.
Okay.
So if you go into Jira, and you go to boards, there's one that's called VNF SDK.
And I post it there.
Post them there. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they all show up. You know, here's the main list.
Okay.
And then we'll make those into sprints. When they're ready.
Okay.
Okay, we'll give everybody about one more minute. Okay, it looks like we have quorum, so let's get started. On today's call, I really want to check in on progress on our first sprint. So we'll spend some time going through Jira on Sprint 1 status. Also CII badging. One of the things that we committed to for this release is the improved security. And part of that is to get the CII basic badge. So I've started that process and we're about 68% of the way through. That's without really having to do anything. But now we have to do a little bit of work to get through that remaining 33%. And I want to review where we are and what we need to work on. When Yao joins us, an update on the functional testing, and then HPA functionality status, review open items, and then any new business. Anything else for the agenda before we get going? Okay. So let's dive in. Here's our Sprint 1 board. I want to check on each one. See, I don't see Andy here. For his particular tasks. I'm actually missing several people. So why don't we start with you, Bruce? How have things been going with you? Have you had a chance to meet with the OPNFE team on integration requirements?
Yeah. I thought my actual thing was to put together a set of user stories, but okay. So we met, was it this week? This Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we basically, so there's, these are really two different projects. There's the one going on in OPNFE to basically extend Dovetail so that we can integrate it into ONAP, and then there's the project in ONAP itself where we integrate it into the ONAP SDK. So the meeting with the OPNFE guys was to determine what we needed to do, and that's pretty well understood now. So I think so that's pretty well understood. We're basically starting that the work in OPNFE Dovetail right now. And so my action item for this, for BNF SDK, is to produce the user stories. I actually have those. I'm just going to try to post them shortly.
Great. You should have full permissions. If you have any trouble, let me know, and I'll work with you on that.
Okay.
Andre, I see your hand up.
Yes, Chris, just to make sure that you didn't miss, because 169 is assigned to me, not to Andy.
I was, sorry, I scrolled up for the 186 and 187, which were Andy's.
Okay, no problem. I will wait for my turn.
I'll let you go next with 169.
So just, I have a short update in 169, is that I talked to Michael and Do, and there is no, in principle, there are no problem to implement the security feature that we described as basic, okay? And just the matter of finding resources. And it looks like I will find them in SDC team that is based on Amdocs colleagues, okay? It looks like I will have the allocation of resources. I will finalize it Sunday, Monday. So at the end of sprint, I will be with definite answer that the SDC will go to implement the feature that we described as basic security features for the NF package. Okay, so my estimation currently is that we will have resources and we will have the SDC part of the security features. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Good progress. Let's see. It looks like we're missing several people. Do we have any updates on 155 or 131? Let's see.
Who had 155?
That's Morali. And I don't see him on the call. 131 was also Morali. I don't see Avinash either. Okay, Gokul, how about you with 138 and 145?
I have already submitted them a long time ago, actually.
Oh, okay. So they're in progress.
All right.
Okay.
I have submitted them for merge. I'm waiting for Murli or Jessica to merge that code.
Okay, great. I will take a look for that and see if we can move that along. Let's see, okay. The rest of this looks like the developers aren't online, so we'll have to follow up on those items later.
So on 189, we're waiting for, just so you guys know, this is being done. So there's work being done in the SDC team to actually define the VNFD data model, right? I mean, the task template for the VNFD.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for that to finish before we can build, you know, kind of decide what changes are required for the VNF packaging tools. I know that Lin Hao built a whole bunch of user stories, and he tried to include some of the items, Chris, that I think you were negotiating with the SDC team. So we may want to review the user stories here. He asked me actually to do that with you in this call because he's out today. He's
okay.
Something, but we should open that epic. He put a bunch of user stories there, and one of them was kind of we were going back and forth trying to understand, you know, if we need to do it or not do it.
Okay, so let's go back to the backlog then.
There was, trying to remember. Yeah, that's it, I think.
The support HP?
Yeah, that could be it. Yes. Okay.
Okay, choose Tosca validator, parser back in, parser validator backend for HPA support. Create a VNF Tosca template with HPA support.
So this is, we need to move this to, I guess we're just keeping, this is a tracking item, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a question about, let me see if I can find my email here. I'm sorry, I'm a little late.
Is STC defining the VNFD template, Tosca template, and the UML model, or just the...
No. I mean, there's no UML. Come on, man.
Well, that's what I'm trying to drive for. So who? This is Andy's not on.
Brian's holy grail, UML everywhere. What they're doing is so the UML would be more appropriate for the information model, and that's Andy, right?
Okay, good. That's what I thought. Yes. So.
And then what they're doing is just building a Tosca template. Let me see.
Alex, are you talking about the discussion that I saw in the wiki between Anatoly and other guys?
Well, Anatoly and I have narrowed the discussion down, so we're down to the fund, you know, to we're pretty much there, right? We just need to agree on a couple of points. We're bringing in, we're meeting with the Tosca TC guys, with Chris Lowers and Matt Radkowski on Monday, to review the template and to see if we've done things the right way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's because I saw some comments from your colleagues, Intel colleagues, discussion between Intel and Anatoly. Okay.
Yeah, there were lots of comments. We kind of went through. We've been meeting early in the mornings to figure all that stuff out and to build a template that we can all love.
Okay.
There was a question about migration tools, right? You know, there was, yes, that was it. There was a bunch of stuff moving, right, in terms of validation from SDC to our neck of the woods. Do we have an exact list of what is moving in terms of validation scripts and whatnot that we would need to add to the packaging tools?
So VVP is moving. You know, the scripts from the ICE scripts, basically, from VVP are moving here. The things from SDC are not, because they don't have the resources this time. So that's something more okay. aligned with Casablanca.
Do we have a story for that for the script?
We do. Yes.
Okay, so we need to maybe dump it in here for now. I don't know, or at least under this epic. I'm not saying we're gonna do anything just yet, but we also need resources, right? You know, part of the problem is that Lynn Howe is kind of on his own. Who else is gonna be doing this work? Is the question.
Yeah, we have several developers. Avinash and Morali are signed up on this as well. And Eric agreed to move in the ICE tests. And we'll have to take it once they come over the wall about the level of updating and integration we can do with the VNF SDK validation tests.
Okay. And then the other thing we had outstanding was the issue around the translator, right?
Yep.
So one thing we have been talking about with David Shadmi was to the need to create probably, you know, a full set of migration tools, really, not really a translator tools. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that if their existing legacy ecomp VNFDs and Heat, we would want to translate them one time to Tosca, and then from that point on just use Tosca.
Yep.
So then the question then becomes, what about this translation thing, and what did we agree to there?
They were talking about handing it off to us, but then they ran out of resources, and so they deferred that item. So that's really more of a Casablanca feature.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll adjust things, and then when he comes back, I'll ask him to meet with you, and you just want to make sure we're on the same page there with all the things we need to do. That's all.
Great. Sounds good. Okay.
I'm sorry, just since I got Brian on the call. Brian, we're meeting today, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear okay. you.
I never know if I'm on mute or not. So.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Any other updates before we move on from the current sprint? Okay, the next topic is CII badging. This is one of the requirements for the Beijing release. So I went in and set up a project for us. The security team had example answers that we could use for most of this stuff. So we have it's bestpractices.coreinfrastructure.org. And then projects, and we're 1588. If you go into projects, you can find it under ONAP VNF SDK. All the ONAP projects have to be ONAP and then the project name. I've gone through these questions, so you can see 12 out of 12 on the basics and 9 out of 9 on change control and reporting is fine. When I get to the bottom, there are some issues that we're going to have to work on as part of the project going forward. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time on that. You know, some of the questions that we still have to fill in on quality, security, and analysis, and you'll see why. So quality, a lot of this we just get for free because we're working with Linux Foundation, that we've got Jenkins and Maven and all the automated tools. We need a little bit of time is on the warning flags questions. And this is where I just want to touch base with everybody and get sign off from the developers that we enable one or more compiler warning flags, a safe language mode, or separate linter tool to look for quality errors or simple mistakes. Gokul, do we have any of that in your code?
The thing to turn warnings on?
Compiler warning flags, particularly around the C code?
Yeah, there are a few warnings out there. I'll try to fix those.
Okay. So we have to turn those on, address all the warnings, and then be maximally strict with the warnings in the software produced by the package. So if you can give me an update on that once you've had a look That would be helpful. And I'll update the page accordingly.
That's kind of a loose, that second question is really poorly worded in the sense that it doesn't ask the team to resolve warnings.
Right. I think they did
somebody from marketing wrote it.
Obviously.
Yeah, project may accept some warnings. So anyways, they just want us to look at those and identify them as false positives, may accept some warnings, less than 1 per 100 lines or less than 10 overall is what their recommendation is, but I think there's some flexibility there.
I mean, it's kind of, okay, I presume they don't want any serious warnings, right?
Yeah.
Be one that's saying pending doom, right? You want to fix that.
Yeah. Exactly. So let me go on to the next section, which is the security section. Most of this is around cryptography. We've already talked about the need for HTTPS. They essentially want to make sure that users can use HTTPS to get into the marketplace, and then we're using HTTPS to talk to SDC. That we're using good cryptographic methods for that. No using DES, no using MD5. It has to be open source software for the cryptography, things like that. So these are all somewhat pending, but I wanted to bring it up with the team before we implement the story about adding HTTPS support.
So with adding HTTPS, I don't know a lot about the certificates around that, but, where do you get the certificate? What's it attached to?
For our purposes, we're probably going to do self-signed. Just for demo purposes, if this were deployed in production, either the operator who's hosting it or whoever the hosting company is would use it, and vendors could do the same. So, since we're not going to be public, I think for our purposes, we can just do a self-signed certificate unless and until there's a better PKI mechanism coming from the security team.
Okay.
So that's basically all of these questions that are open are related to the same thing. So once we add the HTTPS support, I think all of those will go to Matt. The last area is...
one more question on this stuff.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with this new European mandate, GDPR or something. I don't remember the acronym. Anybody heard of that? EU's mandating strict... Anybody heard of it?
No.
Let me see if it's GDPR or BR. But if anybody in Europe is, any software running in Europe is, let me send the link here. There has to be data privacy of any application, even if the application is storing, user, any kind of personal information, which can be an email address.
Okay.
So it affects the European deployments, I guess. So.
Yeah. So what that's saying to us, well, we're going to have to decide either we keep the user credentials internal to VNF SDK, or we use AAF and essentially use them for all the authentication and then push the headache to them. Since we're external, we may need to look at you know, internal support for authentication credentials. And I think one of these questions was about user privacy as well, about making sure that any of the here it talks about the storing of the passwords, that they have to be strong passwords and then stored as iterative hashes instead of clear text. So it gives us some guidance on what we'd have to do, and then we could circle back and make sure that it lines up with EU GDPR as well.
Okay. Yeah, we probably need to bring this up to the security team too.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Yeah.
So the next part is the analysis. So static code analysis, we have Sonar for the tool, and that gives us some of this. We have to clean this up a little bit about static code analyzer has to have common rules to look for common vulnerabilities. Once we have that in place, if there are any medium or high severity exploitable vulnerabilities, we have to fix it. We should have the static code analysis running on every commit or at least every day. I think the security team is working on some of that, so we want to just see if we can line up with them. Dynamic code analysis, that we should have at least one tool applied to any proposed major production release before the release. The project has to, software produced by the project includes software written using a memory unsafe language, that we have at least one dynamic tool routinely used in combination with the mechanism to detect memory safety. Oops. We have to check runtime assertions using dynamic analysis, and medium and high severity vulnerabilities must be fixed in a timely way after they've been confirmed. So mostly it's that we need to turn this on. And Gokul, I think you're the one with the C and C++ code. Mm-hmm. Have you used a fuzzer or web application scanner to make sure that there's no memory safety problems?
Yeah, the code has been run through the HP Fortinet.
Okay.
It has been a while since it has been run, so I'll have to run it again and see.
Great. Thank you. If you can just send me email on that so I can update this section of the badging, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. So in general, I think we're in good shape on the badging, but there are definitely some items that we need to track as we go through our work for this release. I think where we need to focus the most is on the code scanning apps, the static and dynamic applications, and then also when we do the HTTPS support to make sure we do it using best practices. Anything else on this badging? Okay.
Is there some time for me to run these tools and get back to you? Or?
Yeah, there's some time. For some of it, the dynamic code analysis, they just want it by the end of the release. If we can do it before M4, that would be good. With the some of these other things, the static analysis, we'll probably want to get that in place earlier. And then yeah, we'll need a plan on the HTTPS and then make sure that we're checking all the warning flags. Yeah, you've got some time if you need to. You think you could get me something by end of next week just so we can have an update on what the plan is?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Functional testing. Do we have Wen Yao? No. Okay, moving on. Alex, HPA functionality?
HPA functionality.
This was just a follow-up from last week. What's the status of the HPA implementation?
So I think in general we are, well, so everybody's in the throes of trying to define the tasks. I think one big outstanding item is the actual format of the requirements and the format of the capabilities as they get persisted in the AAI. And then, as I said, requirements as they get specified in the template. So Adolfo looked at the current set of proposals and thought there were some issues with that. So we will meet to sort the actual format, and then that's the meeting we're having today with Brian and Adolfo. The only other big issue is how do we which approach we use to the actual data modeling of the HPA. We have a couple of choices, we believe, in terms of creating sort of dynamic kind of opaque structures. One is to use the, you know, the built-in Tosca type called map. And then the other option is to build an external schema, one approach based on an external schema where we've got a JSON schema guiding the actual shape and form of what's in the property string. So that issue is going to get covered on Monday. In terms of the rest, we're just kind of working through designs, right, and trying to get to them too. So we're doing okay. No big red flags. There's something.
Chris, are you on mute?
Chris? Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Sorry, I got locked on mute. Okay. Wouldn't let me I was going to say the thanks for the update on that, Alex. This is going a little crazy on me. The next item was to review the action items from last week, which was also yours. It was to create a Jira task for HPA functionality. Have you had a chance to do that?
So we started, right? So that was what Lin Hao did is started building the list, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll continue refining it. So.
Okay. So I'll leave this open then, and let me know. We'll check on this next week and see if we can close it. Okay.
Can you assign this to Lin Hao since he started working on this?
Sure.
Yeah. And I will follow up with him.
Okay. Great. We'll do that. Any new business? Anything else from the team?
So one item I should bring up as well. One of the things we've been working on from a modeling perspective, and there is UML for this, so Brian will be happy, is the split of the VDU into two parts, right? The software portion and the containment portion for the software. So we're looking at that, and there were some interesting discussions around, you know, where to associate the HPA parameters and whether or not, you know, it will be something that we want to do for release two. The original plan was to split adjust the model to do the split at release two. I was going to ask Andre, there's somebody said on the call that the package would accommodate both the split and the non-split approach. Do you know anything about that?
Alex, is split and non-split, you mean that the package will be divided into two?
No, I'm saying that the VNF SDK somehow will include a specification of a VNF based on a single, you know, kind of VDU blob, and also the refined model, where we have a set of software components deployed inside a virtualization container, okay, the way it was originally.
The reason is the size of the package. If you can remind me, I remember that some discussion. Is it the reason is the size? Is the big size of the package?
Well, no, in general, has anyone talked to you about doing this thing where we kind of do both things at the same time?
Okay, so?
No, yes, I mean, it's more of a question, right? It's not...
Yeah, I'm not aware of any need.
Okay, all right, fine. Because I'm just trying to understand, you know, if there anything crazy we need to do at the package level to support this.
Right? Yeah, just be patient, because to my understanding is, if anyways, if you have a huge size, you can handle or maintain your artifact outside the package and just to refer to it from
the I don't think this has to do with the size of the artifacts. I think this is something else, but that's okay.
Have me in the loop, and I will try to figure out any issue that you will find. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Welcome.
Okay. Thanks. Any other business before we break? Okay. Thanks, everybody. I'll end the call a little bit early and give you back about 20 minutes. I appreciate everybody's updates. I think we're off on the right track, and let's keep up the progress. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.